We wave high the flag of freedom as a patriotic reminder to never take our independence for granted. Fireworks explode into the night sky, lighting up the darkness, reminding us of our nation's calling in the world. One nation under God. We look into the sky and remember that for all the freedom we have to celebrate, we must never forget our dependence on God. It was by His hand we were afforded our independence. So we might stand for liberty, remembering He set us free from the bondage of sin. So we might stand for justice, for the Lord loves justice, and He will not forsake His saints. So we might stand for freedom, because we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We thank You, God, for the beautiful gift of our country. May we always depend on You to sustain us.
I'm here to tell you about another way you can help our church online. So if you go on Facebook or Google and give us a review and just share about your church experience, it can help others who are looking for a new church see your perspective of what church is like here at Only Believe Ministries. This is just another way that we can help spread the gospel online.
Our annual ice cream social will be on Wednesday, July 8th, after service at the North Carport. This is a perfect opportunity to invite someone to come to church with you. Our ice cream sundaes are served with tons of toppings, so come on out and enjoy the ice cream sundae of your dreams.
Now, welcome everyone. Did you see him shove me? How many of you? Yeah, you saw him shove me, didn't you?
What? No, you said you wanted hot dog instead of ice cream.
Oh, that was after you shoved me.
Oh.
Yeah, I want hot dogs, not ice cream.
Just habit. Habit.
See? Abuse. No. I'm teasing. Well, did you all have a good 4th of July? You ate your hot dogs?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, we're having ours tomorrow.
Yeah.
We were busy working yesterday, wasn't we? All day. But anyway, so we're having ours tomorrow, and I'm glad that you guys had a good one. And did you have fireworks and hot dogs and hamburgers and all the good stuff?
I know that some of the
some did
municipalities and cities around the area had good ones. fireworks.
Yeah.
So I heard that Sydney had a good firework.
Yeah, well, we had last night, and I was trying to go to sleep, and so the ones up the road was letting off fireworks. The ones across the road was letting off fireworks, and the one down the, and I'm like, it's like bang, boom, bang, boom. So I turned my TV up a little louder.
Oriented.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm glad you guys did. And we're going to have a good one tomorrow.
Amen.
But I also want to welcome the first-time guests here. If you're here for the very first time, listen, after the service, go out to the Welcome Center. And we have a team out there that would like to welcome you. And this, if you want to ask them any questions or anything like that, or, you know, where do I volunteer? How do I? Any of that good stuff.
Right.
They're there to answer all your questions.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, I want to welcome the live streamers, and I say this every Sunday. I say, I know that some of you are homesick, and I know that some of you, well, I don't say that. Some of you are homesick and you can't make it here, but let me talk to you just a little bit, Pastor and I, this morning about being home if you can make it. We totally understand that if you're sick and you can't make it, it's okay. It's okay. But Hebrews 10:25, is that correct, Pastor? Hebrews 10:25 tells us to not forget to assemble ourselves in the house of the Lord, because some people are. Listen, it was very comfortable for Pete and I, well, me, basically,
and
to stay home in our jammies and have coffee and watch TV and live stream. But you know what? Live streamers, the body needs you. You're our fingers, you're our toes, you're our arms, you're our, oh, they're telling me to go to a different camera. They're your legs. I mean, you're our legs. Listen, we need you. We love you, and we want you here. And we know it's comfortable. We know. But it talks about in that scripture also, Pete, what does it say about in the last days?
As you see the last day is approaching.
As you see the last day approaching, we don't want to separate ourselves from the body of Christ. You know, I say this all the time, and kind of Pete laughs at me, but if you've got bananas on a counter and one of the bananas is laying by itself, which one's going to get ate first? The one by itself. Absolutely. And you're out there, and the devil is, oh my goodness, he makes it seem so good to stay home because you're comfortable.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. But the dog barks. You miss some of the sermon. The kid starts crying or whatever happens. I missed half of the sermon sometimes when I was home. It's true. But, I mean, did I like being there? Yes. Was I comfortable at home? Yes. But listen, let me talk to you live streamers out there. Please do not get separated from the bunch. Because I'm telling you, the devil's coming after your family, he's coming after you, and I'm not speaking that. I'm just saying that's what he wants to do.
It's a reality.
Yeah, and we get lackadaisical, you know, and we get to where, oh, well, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. We're not on fire for the Lord like we need to be, and he tells us to be, you know, to assemble ourselves so that we are on fire. We can encourage, exhort, uplift each other. You know, I thought my women's prayer and fasting was this Friday night, and I was going to share that with the ladies, and it's not till next Friday night, so you're going to get a double dose, ladies. No, because God's laid that on my heart. I'm seeing people not come back. And don't let the coronavirus stop you from coming. You know, and I'm talking about not coming back because of, you know, maybe, I don't know what, coronavirus, lackadaisicalness, whatever.
Flesh, devil.
There you go.
Here's what the Bible says. Look, you all know this. It says that the fivefold ministry is given for the perfecting of the saints. That's not just by letter or by verbiage, but by presence also. It says for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of one faith, and that to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, we have to be connected joint to joint.
Amen.
And we have to be connected to supply one to another.
Amen.
And if they're not here, then guess what? Somebody misses their gift.
Yes.
Now, you may not think that's important, but God holds us accountable because he perceives eternity to be the most important thing of anybody's life. And so we need to make sure that we put a value not on our own salvation, but also on the salvation of others. Amen?
And you know, when I go to other churches and I talk with pastors' wives or pastors, I leave there and I'm all encouraged. I'm all lifted up. I'm all excited about God, different than what I was when I went. So see, we need each other. It is so important that you come back to the house of God. Seriously, we love you. We miss you.
You don't just come back. You come back and you get involved.
Well, yeah.
You know, lazy people get nothing done and they're here.
No, go. Oh. No. Okay. Well, anyway, okay. Well, here we go. The home groups will meet next week on the 12th.
Yep.
And if you don't have a home that you're going to right now, go out to the Welcome Center or go online, and it'll give you all the names of the homes that you can go to in your area or wherever you want to go. So that's a real important part, that we all stay connected, you know. And now we're looking for children's church volunteers.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No, listen. We have a great children's church program, don't we?
You know, you and I used to be children's pastors.
Yes, we did.
Well, we were teen pastors.
Teen pastors.
Yeah.
But listen, God, you know, you've got gifts inside of you. There's gifts laying dormant inside of you that God wants to use. So, if you're interested in volunteering to be to help Brandy in the children's church, listen, sign up out. Well, no, you have to go over to the other place to sign up, don't you? Go over to the children's area and sign up or sign an application, and then Randy will review it and we'll hook you up.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. So don't forget that. Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I know. A dating term.
I don't know what.
It's a bad term. But anyway, okay. Well, it's not good.
Well, I'm going to go fishing next week. Am I supposed to unhook the fish?
Yeah, you can unhook the fish.
Oh, okay. All right.
You just can't hook up with me. Now.
We should have told me that 50 years ago.
No. Okay, marriage class is also going to be meeting next Sunday, July 12th, and that's at 9 a.m. in the loft, if everybody knows where the loft is. And one of our church values is that we value relationships. We really do.
Yep, they're important.
They're very important. And so when you get in this class, we think you need to go as a couple, because it really helps you out. It's a good thing. So don't forget that. Now, who's ready to worship?
Why? I am.
Help me.
Come on.
Okay.
Well, if you would stand to your feet this morning, if you're able. We've come to praise the Lord. Amen. One, my life and my salvation. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. omnipotent, omnipotent, almighty defender. My victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. We sing breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. And when I can't see my way through, and I really don't know what to do, I look to you. Walls come down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through. So I want to praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. Hey. Sing, you are the undefeated one. My light and my salvation. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. We sing omnipotent, omnipotent, almighty defender. My victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, and I really don't know what to do, I look to you. Breakthrough. Walls come down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift and glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, and I really don't know what to do, I look to you. Breakthrough. Walls come down. Walls come down when I shout through. Strongholds, strongholds break when I pray through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my heart. Breakthrough in my mind. Breakthrough in my spirit. Breakthrough in my soul. Breakthrough in my weakness. Breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship. Breakthrough in my praise. Breakthrough when I live to glorify your name. Breakthrough when I dance. Breakthrough when I shout. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. Breakthrough. Oh, yes, yes. Yes. Yes, you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Ooh. Pentecostal fire, stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Yeah, resurrection power runs in my veins too. Yeah, I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Yeah, this is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Yeah. My God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elisha if there's anything that he can do.
Just ask the stone that was rolled. Make a dead man walk again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Hope in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of tribal.
God said live.
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 This is what he said. Live.
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 Dry bones hear the word of the Lord.
Live.
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 Live. Dry bones hear the word of
we
the Lord.
We say live.
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 Live. Dry bones hear the word of the Lord.
Live.
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 Dry bones hear the word of the Lord.
This is sound of dry bones rattling. Oh, this is the praise, make a dead man walk again.
Open the grave, I'm coming out.
I'm gonna live again. This is the sound
of dry bones rattling.
This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. And open the grave, I'm coming out.
I'm gonna live again.
This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Oh, cause this is the sound of the dry bones rattling. And this is a praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave,
I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again.
Open the grave,
I'm coming out.
I'm gonna live again. Open the grave,
I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again.
Dry bones rattling. Yes. Oh, dry bones rattling.
Yes. Come on, can you hear the sound? Yes. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lift your voice this morning. We cry out to you, Lord. Oh, we cry out to you, Jesus. Come have your way. Come flood this place with your presence. Do what only you can do. Do what only you can do. We wait, we seek your face. You come and make your throne upon our praise. Here in this place, Lord, have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy. Jesus. Come on, by faith this morning, let's sing this. Chains fall, fear bow here and now. Jesus, you change everything. Life's healed and hope is found here and now. Jesus, you change everything. Chains fall, fear it bounds right here, right now. Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed and hope is found right here, right now. Jesus, you change everything.
We sing chains fall, fear it bounds right here, right now. Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed and whole is found right here, right now. Jesus, you change everything.
We sing
chains fall, fear it bows right here, right now. Jesus, you change everything.
We sing
lives healed,
hope
is found right here, right now.
Jesus,
you change everything. You change everything. Jesus, you change everything. Jesus, you change everything.
Oh, come on.
Jesus,
it changes
you change
it
everything.
All in a
Jesus, you change everything. Jesus, you change everything. Jesus, you change everything. Jesus, you change everything. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy.
Oh, show us. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Sing that. Show us your glory.
Show
come on, we're desperate for you, Jesus.
In wonder and surrender we fall down.
Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Oh, let every heart be holy ground. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus.
on. Is someone desperate for him today? Is someone desperate for a touch from the Lord? Is someone desperate to cry out, to say, I need you. I need you now. I need you now. We cry out, Lord, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Lord, we need you. We're desperate for you, God. You change everything. Everything in a moment. You change it all.
Jesus is in this room, here I now, here I now, making this place I stand holy ground, holy ground. Oh Jesus, oh it's holy. Your spirit moves and breathes.
Singing along with the saints and the elders, the glorious song and the praises they sing never seem to get old. And I'll stay here forever singing, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty. You'll be forever the King enthroned in glory and splendor. Holy, holy Lord. Yes.
Gentle love calling me closer still,
closer still.
Jesus, you're guiding me to your will, to your will.
And all of the heavens are singing along with the saints and the elders. The glorious song and the praises they sing never seem to get old. And I'll stay here forever singing, holy, holy, holy Lord, and God Almighty over all. 'Cause you were, you are, and you'll be forever the
splendor. Holy, holy Lord. Yes. The veil is torn and the doors swing wide. I see glory as I run inside your throne room. Before you I bow. The veil is torn and the doors fling wide. I see glory as I run inside your throne room. Before you I bow. Before you I bow. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, over all. 'Cause you were, you are, and you'll be forever. Splendor. Forever the King enthroned in glory and splendor. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glory and splendor. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glory and splendor. Holy, holy Lord.
Fear not, says the Lord, for I am with you. It is time to suit up and it is time to armor up. Stop looking behind you to see if your enemy is pursuing you. It is time that you put on the armor and you pursue after them. This week, the Lord said to me, it's time to stop praying for things and start praying against them. We have got to hold the line, folks. Church, we have got to rise up. It is not a time for fear. The day of apathetic Christianity is over. We cannot turn ourselves away anymore. It is a time to engage the battle, says God. But he said, I am with you. There are more of them that are with you than that are with the enemy, says God. So open up your eyes. Open up your eyes today and wield your sword, because the devil would try to turn this fire up seven times hotter. But God said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. So take up the sword and engage.
The Lord says, this is your wake-up call. As you've been hearing my voice, things that you've forgotten, I'm bringing them back to your remembrance. This is your wake-up call. And I tell you, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. You will not fight this flesh. You will fight this battle, but not in your flesh. You will use your weapons of prayer, of worship. You will dance. You will dance before me. You will pray, and you will speak the word of God. And when you open your mouth, when you open your mouth, because you are full in your spirit, your words will not fall to the ground. So yes, it is a battle. We are fighting in the spirit. God is with us, and he will do it.
Yeah.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. Yes, this is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, yes. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Oh, it may look like
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
It may look like I'm surrounded.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Yes.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Good moment to worship with you all. God is good all the time. Yes, he is. So I get the privilege to continue our worship by taking up tithe and offering. So if you need an envelope, raise your hand up, and one of our wonderful volunteers will get you an envelope. Thank you, youth. We love you 24/7, youth. Let's show them some love. Thanks for worshiping with us. We love you all. So this morning, actually this past week as I was preparing for the offering, I was thinking of how long I've been coming to this church. And I've attended this church for 23 years. It makes me feel way old to say that. But I've started coming here since I was 11. I met my husband here in the youth. We were high school sweethearts, grew up, got married here, have our babies here. Our babies are in the children's church serving, and my kids actually call this place home. They don't call our house home. They said, Mom, that's our house, but we want to go home. Can we go to church? Like, we want to go home. And listen, I feel that deep in my soul. This is home. This is safety. This is a place where we get to be family together. Amen? Amen. So, I wanted to share with you an offering message that I remember that Pastor Dosek spoke on when we were first married. And it was probably just a typical Sunday morning to most people, but to me, it changed the way that I gave, and it changed the way that I received. So Pastor Dosek used the verse in Psalm 103:2, that said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." And I remember Pastor Dosek challenged us to write down all of the blessings that enter your life when you're a giver and when you're a tither. So Andrew and I did that in our first years of marriage. And I remember I went back to our journal as I was looking this week. And we wrote down the smallest of blessings of my mom showed up and brought me all new dish towels for our house. And that was awesome because I didn't have to buy it. Who wants to buy dish towels? No one wants to buy dish towels. But as a mom does, she's like, "I bought some for me, so I just bought some for you." And I wrote it down. I wrote down that someone came up to me in a God moment service and handed me $500 and said, "Here, I know you need ears for on stage for you to hear. I want to get you custom ones." And I wrote it down. I remember that we wrote down when we got to witness to somebody in a restaurant. And you know, sometimes when you witness and the people are open and you're like, "Wow, they really got it," and we got to speak life into them. And sometimes they're not. Well, this was a time when they were open and we got to speak life into them. And I remember feeling what a blessing it is. So it's not just about physical things. But why? What was Pastor trying to do when he challenged us? He was challenging us to remember the blessings. Forget not what he's done for you. Forget not that he's given to you and provided every need you've ever had. Even though I have this need right now, let me remind you, the Lord does not change. He is not a liar. He is not different from the day he was 10 years ago when he showed up in your life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you have a need, I encourage you, give towards that need. And forget not the blessings that he's already blessed you with. Amen? Amen. So today, when we bring our tithe and offerings, I encourage you to remember all the good he's done and all the good he's going to do. Because he is a good, good God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. I thank you, God, that we can come joyfully and give to you today. I thank you, Father, that you are king over all. You meet every need and you supply every need we have. And we give to you today cheerfully and joyfully, remembering all you have done and all you are going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. If you would stand to your feet, bring your tithe and offering unto the Lord.
Hallelujah. How to paralyze the church. How could I paralyze the church? How could I stop every victory? How could I undo every promise? How could I shackle the liberated? How could I turn back a nation pledged under God? Well, we're going to talk about that in the next couple of 12 weeks. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John 5, 4 and 5. I want to talk to you about the thievery of your faith. Now, the thing about the thievery of one's faith is that the work of Satan is very deceptive. In other words, you don't even know that it's going on. He appears like an angel of light. Carnality is just a thread from spirituality. Spirituality is just a centimeter from carnality. Spiritually minded, which causes men to walk with God, is just a step away from forgetting God. The balances are slim, the lines are thin, and it behooves the believer. Let me give you a great awakening that you may not have realized. Nobody is in charge of your faith and your eternity but you. The church is certainly the master of helps while on planet Earth and is necessary to every believer, no matter how blinded they become to that reality. But no one is dependent or should be dependent upon someone else to finish life and obtain eternal life. Every man, woman, and child stands before God on their own merit, upon their own path, at the end of their own path, and upon their own history. So it doesn't matter what your church does or what your church doesn't do. It matters what you do with what is presented to you. Now, let's go to 1 John 5:4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, the world is understood to be the throne or the operations headquarters of Satan. He is the god of this world. And so no one for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Everything that the kingdom of darkness has ever instituted or brought to pass can be overcome, undone, reversed through those that are born of God. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In other words, when you have faith, God counts you a victorious individual in all things. In all things. In all things. Could I have $20, Phyllis? You got 20 bucks? You didn't say, who gets, somebody got $20. I'll take 100 of them if you have them, but I'll just settle for one. I'll just settle for one. Who in here is hungry? I mean, really, who didn't eat breakfast today besides me? You didn't have breakfast today. Here.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I have just met every need that you have.
Yes.
Now, if you share this with anybody else, you don't use it, don't complain to me, don't bellyache, don't whine around with what you're not satisfied with. You want pancakes, eat them. You want to go to IHOP, go to IHOP. You want to go to Bob Evans, go to Bob Evans. I don't care what you do with that $20. You understand? Your need has just been met. Now, I am as guiltless as anybody in the history records of keeping that I turned away your need. That I turned my back, I didn't care. You weren't on my mind. You weren't. All of that is done away with when I gave you what it takes to meet need. Is that right? Okay. So, in the overcoming, the ability to overcome the world, the kingdom's devices, the kingdom of darkness's plans, It is in faith. And if you have faith, you can undo all of them. Every one of them. Say, well, you're talking about the Wizard of Oz. Well, no, I'm not talking about the Wizard of Oz. I'm talking about God, the God of all. Amen. Now, next verse. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Now, if you believe that, you have been endowed with faith. And if you'll go to 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4, and when we discover where we are and what is happening to us, we can well relate and say, we can identify what has been going on in the world. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Somebody say, that have received, have taken ownership, that are possessors of, like, duplicated, no bigger, no greater, no smaller, no weaker, those that have obtained like precious faith. With us, talking about all of the people he's talking to, through the righteousness of God, so the righteous possess faith, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Next verse. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. When it talks about his divine power, he talks about his divine work of redemption in one Christ Jesus. And then it says this, he has given us all things. Somebody say, he's given us. He's given us. All things. That means there ain't no more. There's no sense in going to the big committee. There's no sense in going to the, deep sacrifice. There's no sense in going anywhere. He's given you all things. He's not a liar. He's not an Indian giver, as we would call it. He is a God of faithfulness. If he said it, he'll bring it to pass. He'll make it good. His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Next verse. And whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of his divine nature, life, and partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through what? Lust. Sin. Now, what has God given unto us? Life and godliness. Come on, he's given it life and godliness. Where are they contained? Right here in the promises of God. They're not in heaven. They're not in hell. They're not in a grave. They're not in some historical institute. They're not in some deep writings. They're in the promises. Hebrews 6:12 says this, that all the promises of God are come to pass or have been received, made manifest by the patriarchs, which are our examples, and they brought them to pass by faith and patience. So God has given us faith to be recipients of life and godliness. Somebody say life and godliness. Now, all of those can be put together to receive the life of God that is not dependent on this world. And godliness, purity, holiness, sanctification. And so all of these things talk to us that we can be the holy place that God wants us to be, and we can experience the Zoe, the life of God, by faith. Somebody say, by faith. All right. Now, let's go to Luke 18, verse 1 through 8. Now, I'm taking some time to deal with this because I'm going to start giving you information here in a couple of minutes that you're going to have to write down or make your wife remember. And it says, and Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end. Somebody say, to this end. There's one reason that Jesus is telling this parable. And we'll get to it in verse 8. And he says that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying that there was in a city a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversity or my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry night and day unto him, though he bear long with them? And I tell you, this is the end of the reason of the parable. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. In other words, God is faithful. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? Faith is the basis of all victorious outcomes of adversity in the believer's life. Amen. Verse 3. Number 2, faith is the rock of all perseverance of a believer. Do we want to know why people cave in the middle of faith battles? A lack of faith. Oh, but I've got all the faith in the world, said the man that didn't know it was gone. No, you don't have all the faith in the world. Now, you have enough faith to overcome if you'll keep it strong, vibrant, and you will persevere. But notice that once you start a faith endeavor, you have to contend with it night and day. And what you don't want to do is go up against the adversary without a faith that is able to persevere. It says that we shouldn't faint. So when faith is stolen or destroyed, there are 5 major things that happen. Number 1, you will not endure to the end. You will not endure to the end. Now, the reason I'm taking this from the negative side to start this faith series is to let you realize how important your faith is to you. It's not just about having good faith messages. It's about a believer realizing the contention and the battle that the devil is waging for. He is waging for the faith of an individual, a family, and a nation. Now, we can talk about all kinds of things in today's upheaval and this society that we're living in, which no one has an answer for. But the very basis of why it is happening is the void of faith. the void of faith. And so if I wanted to cause you to relinquish your faith in a coming Savior, that you would dabble in things that were not acceptable unto Him. And if I wanted to do that, I really don't have to do much. I only got to get rid of one item. That is the substance of faith. Substance of faith. That's all. It's not a thousand battle frontal. It's only one assault upon a nation, upon a family, and upon a people. The devil is after your faith. If he gets your faith, he'll get your life, he'll get your eternity, he'll get your life, he'll get your godliness, he'll get your morals, he'll get your family, and without you even knowing it, he'll get your eternity. You will not endure. I'm not telling you anything the Bible doesn't say, but I am reiterating it, maybe a little louder than you would read it. But I'm telling you, you will not endure to the end. Oh, but you know, I read every day, and it had nothing to do with nothing. Listen, pay attention to me. He is after your faith, not after your traditional everyday habits. Keep me soft, Jesus. Number two, you will not hold fast the hope of eternal life. The loss of faith makes eternal life a figment of your imagination. People that worship other gods, that deny Jesus Christ, say this, and even Christians, I'm going to let my say this word one time, stupid Christians, say this, well, we're all headed the same place. Beg your pardon. No, I'm not headed for an eternal hell. I'm not going there with you. I'm not believing what you believe. I'm not going to surrender what you surrender to. But the people that worship God blindly do not have faith. None. They don't have it. And so they have no hope of eternal life. Thus comes the grounds for lukewarmness. Well, we aren't really going, you know, heaven. We just go. God loves us all. God would not punish us all. That is simply faithlessness. Number three, you will not keep the confidence in your faith that you had when you first started living it. People lose confidence in what faith will do. Therefore, they create other roads to get to an end. I was thinking about this morning as I was sitting at the table, and I thought, God, what is a great sign that faith is not even governing my life? He said every time you face a problem, you start thinking how you can resolve it. That is faithlessness. Now you would say, let's just believe God. Got to make yourself believe God. Then faith is not a dominant substance in your life. Amen. Number four, you will not stay diligent to anything you put your hand to. Now I say this as softly as I can. For all of you that started stuff and stopped doing it, you ought to understand that there has been a successful assault upon your faith. Because we must believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Don't start something you say, well, the Lord told me to do, and 2 days later, well, you know, that's not really what God called me to do. Either you're a bona fide liar or God's a schizophrenic. not trying to be hard. I'm just keep me soft, Jesus. How do we overcome and keep our family in the work of Jesus Christ? We only do it by faith. As soon as faith starts dwindling, you stop caring about the state of your family. You will drag them out of church with you. Just an observation. Satan's one focus is the destruction of faith in every life in our nation and in our world. The void of faith in anyone's life creates lifelessness and godlessness. Does anybody remember the state that we all were in before we were made righteous and justified by faith? Can I have Romans? I really don't know what it is. I wasn't planning on using it. Romans, the 3rd chapter. And let's look at Romans 3. Where are you? And verse 9 through 20. It's a lot of scriptures, but let's just look at it. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have all before proven, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Now, anybody know what sin is? A void of righteousness. A void of righteousness means the absence of faith. Remember, we've all received like faith through the righteousness of God. Unwicked and just men do not have faith. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. Or they could create a world dominated by evil. So unrighteous men don't have it. But since we've been made the righteousness of God, we've been enabled and empowered with faith. As it is written, there is none. What? Read it with me. None. No, not one. All right, next verse. And there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. These have all gone out of the way. They're all begun, all together become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open scepter. Their tongue they have used as deceit. They poison. The poison of asp is under their lips. And whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace they have not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. And we know that things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is a knowledge of sin. Now, why is the world the way that it is? They don't seek God. They don't want God. They don't do no righteous. There is no good. There is no peace in them. Why are they like that? The void of faith. They are not being governed by righteousness. They are being governed by unrighteousness. Good again, amen. You're right. Now, so we understand that as soon as faith becomes a void in an individual's life, then death and godliness begins to rule their life. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 32, 15. And it says, but Jeshurun waxed fat, and he kicked and kicked. Thou art waxed fat, for thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God. Now, when did he do that? When he got fat. The God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, and abominations provoked they him to anger. Now they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly, upon whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art become unmindful, and thou hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. Now, who are these people? Who are they? Sons and who? These are not the enemies of God. These are the sons and daughters of God. These are those that have had the rock of their salvation bring them out of Egypt. This is not some heathenistic community. This is a community that have surrendered their lives to follow Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Pictures to us a whole different picture of people. These are sons and daughters of God. And he said this, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children filled with faith. What did it say? In whom is no faith. Now, did these people want to be that? No. What are they? They are a byproduct of neglect. They're a byproduct of laziness. They are a byproduct of self-provision. They are a byproduct of the influence of a world that they were not called to be a part of. I'm sure they didn't get up one morning and said, hey, let's blaspheme God. I don't think that happened at all. Maybe it did, but I don't think so. There were 9 sins that Israel committed. The only reason they committed these sins was because there was no faith. No faith. Righteousness cannot reign, nor will it direct or govern an individual's heart without faith. It cannot. It is impossible. Thus, we may see why many of us are compromising purity and holiness. Why we call filth entertainment. Why we are so habitable of watching stuff that Jesus certainly would not watch in our house. We watch it and we think, well, you know, that's just the way the world is, said the man who's had his faith stolen. These people are a result of faithlessness. They don't even know it. They don't even know it. Now, the word has not changed. Faith still comes from hearing it. Moses hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. But the people have changed. The first sin that they committed in verse 15 and 18 together, they forsook God that had made them after he was the rock of their salvation. Afterward, not before. And in verse 18 it says that God made them. It simply means that he created them as his offspring. He calls them sons and daughters. He doesn't call them backsliders. He doesn't call them bastards. He doesn't call them no good. He doesn't call them rejected. He doesn't call them anything. He says, these are my sons and daughters that have lost their faith. And thus, they have nothing to do with me. Could God say, or would God say that to the westernized church or Christians today? Jesus said he would say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Yes, he would. They lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. In other words, what God said was not even considered to be relevant for their life. Wow. Well, I thought I had come to church to get uplifted. I'm uplifting you. I'm telling you right now, the devil is after your faith. And if you don't take a handle and get a hold of it and start apprehending it, growing it, nurturing it, and protecting it, it'll be gone and you won't even know it. The Bible says, let us judge ourselves whether we be in the faith or not. So there must be this thin line of faith and faithlessness. Judge yourself. Well, I think that, well, you know, I'm not. This is eternity. You think salvation is like a return pack of rubber bands from Walmart? Is that what you think it is? Salvation is once in a lifetime to be obtained. And once in a lifetime to be lost. Amen. It is all hinging upon your faith and the purity thereof. Amen. They provoked God to jealousy by creating strange gods. I mean, they created stuff to replace God and to replace his word and his counsel in their life. You know, now we say, you know, it used to be, and I don't want to shock some of you. I don't know what you call this generation. It used to be that when people had sex, it was known as fornication. Adultery. Now it's just, we just hooked up. Hooked up don't seem near as bad as fornication. Fornication brings to mind that responsibility of a governing God. We don't want to be pushed around. We don't want to be governed. We want things that are relevant for today. Nobody buys a pair of shoes without trying it on. And no, guess what? We're in love anyway. Yep. I agree with those statements. But they're nothing but lying, faith-destroying statements. They provoked him to anger with many abominations borrowed from the heathen. Borrowed from the heathen. Why do we have to be like the world? Well, we got to attract them. Well, we don't use vinegar instead of honey to get bees. We use the gospel to be preached. And this may shock so many of you. It hasn't changed one iota since its first revelation. And if the world can't stand it, then they cannot obtain it. Now, you might want to erase these and thous and thes and thubs and dubs. Okay, take all that away. Tell your story. But don't make it what it is not. It is not a promise to success. It is not a promise to prosperity. It is not a promise of a healed marriage. It is not a promise to restored families. What it is a promise that your sins will be washed away. And if I take it any further than that, then your faith will not lay hold of a promise. You'll be laying hold of a Savior based on a false promise. Because the promise is not true until you become a believer. And the believing in Jesus Christ is not about getting stuff. It's about being forgiven. It's about being washed and cleansed in His blood. Could I get an amen? Absolutely. The fifth sin they committed, they sacrificed to devils and not to God. To devils. Oh, we would never do that. But we do all the time. We know things that are anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-purity, anti-holiness, and we do it. They sacrificed to gods that they didn't even know. Yet, they stopped sacrificing to God. When was the last time, and I bear guilt for this, as much as you and I both do. When was the last time that we really preached a sacrificial service? We're going to sacrifice something today. Next Sunday is going to be a sacrifice service. We're going to sacrifice something. I'm going to do away with country and Western music. Oh, are you saying that's the devil? No, I'm not saying that. I just said that might be something that you are accustomed to and you love. And you might make a sacrifice for it to give yourself over to hear Christian music. Now, I'm not saying you have to, but I'm saying that might be a sacrifice. But see, that would take away our identity or our branding of being connected to the world. They sacrificed to newly invented gods in their own imaginations. We have so many things today. How many of you have ever started reading the Bible on your phone and then wondered what Facebook said, and guess what? You never got back to the scriptures, but you knew what Facebook said. They became unmindful of their salvation in God. Do we really know what salvation is and how important it was? I don't know. How many of you have got a new diamond in the last 5 years? There are a couple. Do you lay that out in the driveway at night? How many of you got new shotguns in the last 5 years? Phyllis, close your eyes. Do you lay that out in the driveway? How many of you got a new dress, a new suit you just laid out in the yard at night? No, many of us have forgotten the cost of salvation and the reality of our need and every man's need for it. We should be willing to sacrifice anything. Remember, we're not our own. We're just bought with a price. They forgot God who justified them and washed them and redeemed them by his blood. Now, those are nine sins that happen because of faithlessness, not because of temptation. I thought temptation was our enemy. No, it's not. Remember, temptation in Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 12, is only to get you offended so you forsake your faith. Amen. All right, let's go to Hebrews 3, 7 through 13. These are necessary things to go through in order to awaken people. And it says this, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the days of temptation, in the wilderness, where God discovered this people void of faith. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief that leads to departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, daily exhort one another, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. First thing they did, when faith goes, we harden our hearts to the voice of God. We just don't obey. We just don't obey. Secondly, in verse 12, we end up allowing our hearts to become hardened through unbelief, the void of faith. The void of faith. See, faith is so necessary in keeping our hearts pliable and touchable to God. They departed from the living God. Same scenario, same stuff. They openly rebelled against his commandments. How many of you know that God told you to do something and you're not doing it? You've lost your faith. Habitable sin and careless living creeps into a life that has no faith. Amen. Habitable sinning, lawlessness comes into a believer's life. They stop doing what they know to do. And then what happens in a place of faithlessness is apostasy. We don't hear that word much. Apostasy means all faith in God and his redemptive plan has been overthrown, thus taking away any hope of repentance from God. When we harden our hearts and become hardened to the voice of God, there is no conviction. There is no leading. There is no voice of righteousness. So I'm going to begin to preach on faith. Faith will never fail you. Faith will always work. Faith is not subject to those that fear God, nor those that fear men. Faith will bring to pass that which God said, despite a million failures. So we are going to start learning to walk by faith, to live by faith. And God reminded me, 38 years ago, son, I called you to preach faith to this generation because of the unbelief that was in the churches. God reminded me of that. So I'm probably going to hear these words that I used to hear. All you preach is faith. I know it. Without it, God doesn't exist. Without it, we will never live life. Without it, we will never live godly. Where is your faith today? Now, I'm not talking about just, oh yeah, well, you know, I come, I do this, I do. I'm not interested in that. Where is your faith? Not your works, not your list of good deeds. Where is your faith? We're going to begin to discover that in the days to come. And I'm going to preach faith. I have no excuses for why yours don't work. I don't know. But if I was you, I'd dig it out and I'd find out. This is up to you, the perseverance, the safety, the growth, the health of your faith is up to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, you might as well shout, thank God, Dad, hallelujah. And so you might be getting named like, oh, you go to that blab it and grab it. You go to that name it and claim it. You go to that faith church down there. You go, yep, you're right. That's who I am and that's what I do. I remember one time a denomination that is very well known in this area called me and they said, well, we hear you preach faith. I said, what do you preach? And after their negotiations among themselves, they decided to bless me instead of criticize me. We are people of faith. We are born of faith. We live by faith. We fight fights of faith. We persevere by faith. We endure by faith. We overcome by faith. We rule by faith. We shine by faith. We speak by faith. We lift up holy hands by faith. We shout by faith. We worship. We praise by faith. We labor by faith. We minister. We're involved. We care. We give. We do. We serve by faith. We love by faith. We give by faith. There's nothing about us that exists that is not of faith. We are the sons and daughters of God, born of His nature. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. All righty. I've got an announcement to make. Bittersweet. Pastor Kylan is not here today. And Nikki's not here today. The reason is that Pastor Kylan is going to be taking over the Urbana campus. The reason is that I always teach our campus pastors, if you lose the joy of your salvation and of the gospel, it's time for you to go. So Daniel called me several times, and we've had this talk over the years, that he just said, you know, Pastor, Lisa and I prayed about it. We just have no joy in pastoring anymore. He said, and we decided that it's not our thing to do, or it's not what we should be doing for the well-being of our family. I said, then? He said, so I remember what you told me. If I ever lost my joy of pastoring, that it was time to go. So Daniel gave us his resignation. He is announcing it today to his church. Nikki is there with a card from Phyllis and I and a check from our church to bless him and to prosper him and to help him on the new steps of his future with God. We want the very best for Daniel and for Lisa. And so they will, Daniel will be preaching this Wednesday and the next Sunday, which will be the 12th. And then Kylan will be taking over the pastorate. And Kylan has preached there many times and has been preaching there lately a little more. So Kylan and Margo will be pastoring over there. Kylan will be working at our church behind the scenes like he does over all the outreaches a couple of days a week here, as well as pastoring Urbana. Now we are ready for Urbana to explode and to ignite and to enlarge. And Kylan's met with some of the leaders, and he'll be meeting with the leaders and so forth. So it's bittersweet in that Daniel's tender as a pastor comes to an end, but he is still serving God. And his family is, and we will trust that that will continue. And so it we've been praying with Kylan for about a year about what God wanted him to do, whether God wanted him to start another church that Kylan had started there in Dublin. We thought maybe God would want him to start out, reach out and start another one. So we were praying about that. Or if Kylan was just going to stay where he was here at the church. Well, this opened up. And, you know, not the way that we planned or not the way that we would like it to do. But it opened up. So Kylan and Margo prayed about it and felt like that it was something that God wanted them to do. And I believe that God will bless and prosper Kylan as he does so. So we want to make sure that we lift up Daniel and Lisa and the boys. But we also want to lift up Kylan, his family, and Margo. So it is a change, but change is a part of life. Amen. And so we appreciate what Daniel has done, all the years that he's labored in that field. You know, we believed in Daniel. Daniel was one of the first ones, and then Ben Swartz joined me. But I spent 2 years with Daniel, 2.5 hours every day for 2 years before we launched him out into pastorate. So Daniel has a good foundation of faith, and, you know, those years were productive for Daniel, and they will continue to produce in his life. So we want to keep him up in prayer, but we also want to celebrate for new beginnings. Amen? And I think God is going to do great things, and I'm excited about Urbana, and so we'll just see what God's going to do, and we'll rejoice in all that they're doing. Now, the new building in Kenton, Eric's not here. He had to run to New York and check on his mother and father-in-law. But the new building in Kenton that'll seat about 600 is just about to be wrapped up, and we're about to open it for services there. So we're happy about that. And the church in Dayton is holding its own, and we need to get a building. Hallelujah. And so we'll start that too. But let's stand to our feet today. Hallelujah. Father, I pray,
God. Hey, live streamers, we're so glad that you guys joined us today. Wow, what a great service. What a great time to come together and worship our King and hear the word and dig in deeper to what God has to say to us. So thank you guys for joining us today. We hope you're going to be blessed this week, and we'll see you back here again at 7 p.m. on Wednesday.
Be strong in faith. Let us.